Beautiful reading of the Passion of Jesus there from Mark. And today, Catholics throughout the world, right, turn their hearts and minds once again to the suffering and death of Jesus. And as I listen to that, what struck me most is it's a whole narration of the drama of man's relationship with God and God's relationship with man, with children's relationship with parents and parents and the children. It's this whole trial, us before God, right? Putting him on trial, judging him for not showing up, doing, revealing power the way we want. People not understanding him. Is he in calling on Elijah? Like totally misunderstanding, quoting the scriptures that they knew. The own apostles sleeping, not being able to understand and support. Jesus, also before the Father, why have you abandoned me? This whole drama that human experience has. Being lazy, confused, rebellious, angry that God doesn't show up the way we expect him to, etc. And then God's response to that struggle of man to understand him. And you can see that also in families, a struggle for children to understand the love of the parents that struggle to communicate that. The patient suffering that parents have to offer and God offers to us of, hopefully you'll understand this love later. This is love, and I'm going to give it to you, and I wish I could answer it in a way you would want it, so it's easy and quick and intuitive to understand. But that would be to shortchange love, and I won't do it. There's a more important message here for you, for your happiness, for your future. And I'm not going to shortchange the meaning of my love for you by giving you a quick answer or one to your measure. I'm not going to come wake you up, give you some injection of courage. You're going to have to learn this on your own. This is what love is. And the only way God knows how to do it is let me do it for you. Let me love for you so you can see it and hopefully learn it and repeat it and find the meaning in it. God's on trial this week by humanity. This holy week is holy because not what we do, but what God does when we don't do what we should. When we don't live up to our dignity, don't use our freedom well, God responds. And that's what this whole week is about. This passion of God that says, no matter what you do, I'm going to keep on loving you. I will never let you down. You can trust me always to be faithful. If we reject him, scourge him, crown him, betray him, even crucify him, even seal him in a stone and say, we're done with the question. I've figured it out. God doesn't exist. Bury him in the garden, put him in a shelf and close the door and let's just move on with our existence. Because we just don't need you. You didn't show up and answer the way we wanted. Done with you. Even if we behave like that, God allows that to happen. Takes it all. God's love and faithfulness doesn't depend on us. It depends on him, his love, and he will never take it back. We can trust God completely. That's the message of the Passion. That's the answer of God. And it's the message for each one of us, wounded and sinful. We're not lost. What we most need to hear, that when we're weak, someone else is strong, and someone gives us the love that we don't find always within ourselves, that's what we learn today. It's a quote from the Catechism, which is really beautiful. Man, tempted by the devil, let his trust in his Creator die in his heart, and abusing his freedom, disobeyed God's command. This is what man's first sin consisted of. All subsequent sin would be disobedience toward God and lack of trust in his goodness. And if you rewrite that number from God's perspective, you could say all subsequent action of God would be to respond to that disobedience and lack of trust in his goodness to evidence that he's worthy of our obedience and trust, to win it back, to woo us through his fidelity. There's a beautiful scene in The Passion of the Christ, that beautiful movie, game changer in the history of Hollywood, first kind of grassroots funded movie, set the stage for what The Chosen could accomplish and what maybe some of you have seen, Cabrini. Hopefully you get a chance to see another great religious film. But there's a great scene in there which I think also evidences this relationship between God and man. It's when Veronica, in the midst of the upheaval of the way of the cross, when they're beating on Jesus and whipping him and he's dragging the cross through the dusty streets of Jerusalem to go up to Golgotha, people are pushing and whipping and he's falling, etc. And she's comes around a corner, tries to hide her kids so he doesn't see this horrible scene, but in one moment grabs some water and a cloth and breaks through the crowd to get close enough to him, and she says, "May I? You know, like, can I be a friend?" Like, Jesus' almost reaction is initially another aggressor. No, I'm here to love you and care for you. May I? And she washes his face for a moment. The actress in that scene was not a believer before that scene. That scene took a long time to film. They had to do it over and over and over again. And, you know, take, and she'd get knocked over or dumped the water or someone hit her and it would be an awkward look. It's like, no, got to get through the crowd somewhat gracefully and approach Jesus. And it just wasn't working over and over again. But each time she'd get there, kneel down, look Jesus in the face and say, "May I?" And little by little, she said, seeing Jesus, the struggle to find him, to get in front of him, to understand his suffering, to communicate compassion and openness, began to melt her own heart that had no faith. She had her own wounds, her own suffering, her own baggage, her own vision of God. And through that repeated scene, her own heart started to change. And she herself witnesses that's when she found faith. Acting that scene, repeatedly seeing the face of Christ and saying, "May I?" And showing some openness, some care and concern, she had faith. That's what we're called to do, brothers and sisters, this week. Fight through the noise of the normal week. Hopefully it's anything but normal, but I know there'll be normal commitments. Fight through it. Struggle if you need to. Get in front of Jesus in the church, at home in prayer, stopping in a church on your way back and forth from errands or work. Spend time. Approach the face of Jesus. Say, "Permit me to touch you. Permit me to understand you, to console you, and to also grow in my love for you and to receive your act of love for myself." Christ wants to penetrate the walls around our hearts and bring us an assurance of his love. He wants to take the pressure off our lives, so to speak. What do I mean by that? Debt creates pressure. A lot of talk now about where's the economy and the pressure that places on people, and people complaining, "Hey, I can't afford it. No matter how hard I work, I can't get ahead." And whatever your opinion is of the economy, I'm no expert on it. But what we do see is anyone who perceives that they're indebted and they can't get ahead, there's a weight that's growing that they can't resolve, pressure mounts. Jesus wants to remove that, pays the debt for us, and sets us free to love. He wants to convince us that we don't need to struggle anymore under the burden of our sin or our woundedness, either to earn his love or to find a solution or to fight it or even to seal it up in a back corner of our lives and just move on. He wants to heal it at its root. He wants to take our wounds upon himself so that we don't have to suffer them alone, and so he can heal them and us and our relationship with him. The question is, as it was for Pilate, as it was for the apostles, as it was for all of humanity since that act of God's divine love, will we let him? The question of Veronica is, permit me. But also that's the question of Jesus to you. Permit me. Let me in. Break down the wall. So this week, this Holy Week, it's the time for us to let him win over our hearts, to approach him on his unconditional loving terms. So let's give him that chance. Let's carve out time with him. On a more up-spiraling note, positive note, when young lovers go on a honeymoon, and I'll be doing a wedding in Easter week, so I was preparing the homily along with this one. So when young lovers go on honeymoon, this couple I'm marrying is going to be going on their honeymoon, they go away to be alone together so that their love can flourish, so they can start off on the right foot, right? Holy Week, in a real sense, is a honeymoon. Should be you and Jesus alone together, spending time. You as Christ's bride, him as your groom, to discover that love once again. We shouldn't let this week go by just like every other week. We mustn't let the special graces God has in store for each of us go to waste. We need to decide today that we will take the time to let Christ's victory penetrate our hearts, so we can experience life more and more as he means us to experience it. A life of peace, the pressure off, and the victory of his love in our hearts. So let's take some time to be alone with the Lord, to worship him. As parents, let's provide that time for our children. Come to the masses, come to the liturgies, visit the Lord. And let's start right now in this Mass with the rest of the Mass, listening, loving, and letting Christ in. Amen.